You are listening to Sermon Snippets with Max Taylor, where we exposit God's Word and apply its instruction to our everyday lives. As we study God's Word, we are learning truth that corrects our thinking, meets our needs, and teaches us more about Christ. Here's your host, Max Taylor.
So last week we went over Daniel chapter 10, and we took several lessons out of it, actually. It's kind of surprising that we went through the entire chapter in one episode. But really, chapter 10 is special. It's unique because God almost just gave Daniel a personal message. We almost just see this kind of behind the scenes, the motivation behind God's communication with Daniel. For one thing, the fact that God loves Daniel, and that's made very clear. And also, we just get kind of a behind the scenes view, and it teaches us that we don't always see the full picture. We don't always know what's going on the way that God sees from his perspective. So that encourages us to trust in God. And there were several other lessons that we took out of chapter 10, kind of dealing with spiritual warfare and how God is more powerful than any of our enemies that we face. So we won't go back and reread any of chapter 10, but if you didn't listen to that episode, I would go back and listen to last week's episode on Daniel chapter 10. Now we're looking at Daniel chapter 11, which is a very lengthy prophecy. We won't go through the entire thing in 1 week, for sure. It'll take several weeks for us to go through. And then that really leads right into chapter 12, which is the final chapter of the book of Daniel. So the end is in sight. So within just a few weeks here, we'll be rounding out the book of Daniel. And chapter 11, this prophecy that we're getting into, that we're just going to be starting today, we'll kind of go through the introduction and then get a few verses in maybe. It is so significant. And it really, I think one of the reasons it's so significant is that it gives such a emphasis on the study of history. And really, it just encourages us. We live in such a unique time when we have access to so many resources, so much history, so much has been written, recorded, documented from years past that we now have the ability to go back and study and to learn about these events, both from a prophetic view from the book of Daniel and from history, from our perspective where we live. You know, as we read these things, we're going to be kind of mixing in some of the history that this is talking about when it was fulfilled. But don't forget that chapter 11 has not yet been fulfilled from Daniel's perspective. When Daniel was writing this, all of these things were future events. So he didn't have the privilege that we have today of looking back and seeing all these things God was teaching him about. And that is one of the biggest lessons from Daniel chapter 11. Even in just reading some commentaries on Daniel chapter 11, one of the ones that I really like is Ironside's Notes. It's not considered, I guess, commentary per se. It's just like his collection of notes on different books of the Bible. And I'm not even really sure why that distinction is made, other than maybe the fact that he didn't write notes on every book of the Bible, possibly. Not really sure. But if you really want to get a good grasp on, I would say, a lot of the prophetic books, Ironside's Notes are very helpful. And I've heard some mixed reviews, I guess, on the book of Revelation, so I haven't personally read through that one. So I'm not sure if I would recommend that or not, but in general, Ironside's Notes on prophetic books, I've used him for some of the minor prophets as I've been reading through. He gives very sound interpretation and good application as well in his notes. And a good place to go to get some free commentaries in a digital format is studylight.org. That's something that I use. There's also Blue Letter Bible has a couple commentaries, but if you go to studylight.org, you can see a bunch of different commentaries. If you scroll down way down to the bottom where it's under the category of like notes on individual books, you'll see Ironside. And the helpful thing about that website is that it gives you kind of the theological slant or the position or the denomination of each commentator. So very helpful. Anyways, this is not a commercial for commentaries, but I will throw in a brief commercial while I'm thinking about it. And that has to do with our new podcast, which is going to be coming out here in a couple weeks. We are currently reading through the book, the first book that we're going to do by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's called Life in Christ, and it's a study on the book of 1 John. And pretty much you could consider that a commentary in and of itself. It's actually a collection of all of his sermons he preached. Originally, it was like five volumes, but now it's been put into one. So if you want to get a podcast or get some kind of content in your weekly schedule that has to do with reading and critiquing books and talking through the ideas in books, you should go check out the new podcast that we are starting called Give Attendance to Reading. There will be a link to it in the show notes to this episode. So if you click on that link, go to the show, follow the show, and then you'll be updated whenever our first episode releases. That'll be a really cool opportunity to get some more commentary, some more reading, and on other topics such as history, which is what we're dealing with here. So coming back to Daniel chapter 11, let's start out by reading the first couple verses, and then we'll kind of break them down as we go. So Daniel chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him." So right off the bat, we have to kind of pinpoint the kingdom that Daniel's in, because he's been involved in quite a few world empires. Really, if you think about it, it's amazing. We've talked about this before, but he was part of the Judean kingdom, then the Babylonian Empire. And at this point, Babylon has already fallen, and Darius the Mede is part of the Medo-Persian Empire. So a huge empire. The last one that Daniel was a part of. And so this is where he is. He's serving in Darius's court. In verse 2, it says, "And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia." Now, before we even address Greece there, that was mentioned at the end, I want to kind of talk about these four Persian kings. Now, without going into too much detail, I tend to agree with Ironside, at least according to my preliminary study that I've conducted at this point, that these four kings are the first four kings of Persia. Now, there were not only four kings of Persia, and he doesn't say that here. But if you take into account the context, what he's saying, he's mentioning four specific kings of Persia, and then he stresses the fact that the fourth one is far more rich and more magnificent than the others. So that would kind of make sense to be the first four kings of the Persian Empire. So that would start with Cyrus. He would have been the first one, because he was pretty soon right after Babylon fell. Then you have Cambyses, would have been considered the second one. Then after just a brief reign of another guy, then you would have Darius the first, which is who Daniel was serving under in the giving of this vision. And then the fourth one would then be Xerxes the first, or Xerxes the Great. And that would match the description. Now, also the other important fact in verse 2 mentions that not only will the fourth be far richer than they all, but by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up against the realm of Grecia. Now, that's an important fact because during Xerxes' reign, he sent about a couple million, according to historical estimates, he sent a couple million soldiers to go fight against Greece. And that was a big deal because years later, by the time Alexander came on the scene, the Greeks still remembered that. They were still bitter against the Persians because of those wars. And they eventually, because they never forgave them, they eventually came back with a vengeance led by Alexander the Great. So that's why, most likely, those are the four kings, Xerxes being that last king of Persia that's mentioned. Obviously, he wasn't the last king of Persia, period, because many, many years down the road, when Alexander the Great came to the throne, he fought against Persia. So Persia was still there. So Xerxes was not the last king. So now we'll continue reading verse 3. It says, "And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will." Now, who would that be? That, of course, would be a person that we've heard on the podcast quite a few times now in this Bible study going through the book of Daniel. That is Alexander the Great. He is going to rise up. And this, of course, there's a pretty good span of time in between verse 2 and verse 3. And that happens a lot in prophecy. So that's going to be fast forwarding to Alexander the Great. And he's going to do according to his will. And verse 4 says, "And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken." Speaking of the fourth king of Persia, the Persian kingdom shall be broken. And it says, "And shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those." So this is speaking of when Alexander the Great, he begins to conquer much of the known world. He conquers from Greece all the way down to the Middle East, down to Egypt, and then all the way going east to around India. And then he dies at a young age. And we've talked about this in the past, but his kingdom is then divided, not to his sons, but it's divided to his four generals. And eventually, as they kind of duked it out over the years, two of them rose to prominence. And that's what the rest, well, not the rest, but that's what the next several verses is devoted to, talking about those two generals and their successors in these two kingdoms. So really, verses 1 through 4 has laid the groundwork for the next several verses, which gives us just a vast array of prophecy, what we now look back on as history. And all of it really serves in the believer's life the primary function of showing us the trustworthiness of God's word. It shows us the reliability and the accuracy of the Bible. And you know what it reminds me of? Again, going back to the fact that Daniel, he wasn't alive when a lot of this came to pass. From his vantage point, from his standpoint, he didn't know who Alexander the Great would be. He didn't know a lot of these things that he was writing about, that he was hearing about, these prophecies. He was doing the math, he was doing the study, and God was revealing these things to him as he prayed, as he walked with God, as he sought God's will. And God was showing him these things, specifically in these chapters at the end of the book of Daniel, to instruct his people, the Jews, to tell them what was coming, to be able to encourage them, give them strength to know when they saw these things happening that God's word was true. And so we can take heart and know that we can trust and have ultimate confidence in God's word. Even if it doesn't make sense right now, we know that God's word is true and he will keep all of his promises. And we'll pick up there next week.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Snippets. If this Bible study is a help to you, consider downloading the weekly episodes or sharing this podcast with a friend. Until next time, remember that God's word is perfect, and it's everything you need to live for Him.